The bodies of more than 8,000 Palestinians are missing in Gaza as the death toll from the Israeli onslaught surpasses the 20,000 mark. Hamas leader Yahya Sinwar says resistance fighters have killed or wounded some 5,000 IDF soldiers during the onslaught on Gaza. And his Christmas address, the Pope calls for an end to, quote, the appalling harvest of innocent civilians in the Gaza Strip. Hello and welcome live from Tehran. You've tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Appreciate you being with us. Well, it's been 80 days since Israel launched its onslaught on Gaza, and the regime has carried fresh strikes with the narrative, dovetailed with the narrative that the onslaught is actually a genocidal war. At least 95 people have been killed in a strike on the Al-Maghazi camp in central Gaza. The air raid also injured dozens of others. Gaza's government office has once again urged the international community to put pressure on Israel to stop its genocide. The resistance movement Hamas also described the bombardment as a horrific massacre. Other areas across Gaza also witnessed new strikes. In Deir al-Bala, 7 people have lost their lives after warplanes bombed a residential building. Another airstrike killed around 2 dozen other Palestinians in the southern city of Khan Yunis. And to the north, the regime's bombardment killed an additional 10 members of a family in the Jabalia camp. The total death toll is now over 20,400. Most of them women and children. The official death toll from the Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip is nearing 20,700. The Israeli regime has intensified its airstrikes on the central areas of the besieged territory. Our correspondent Moti Abu Mosab brings us more.
The Israeli artillery resumed their attacks and shelling against the Palestinian residential buildings and neighborhoods in the eastern part of the middle area of Gaza Strip, particularly Deir al-Balah city and the Al-Maghazi refugee camp. This actually consistent with the relentless airstrikes targeted Al-Nusrat refugee camp in the central area of Gaza Strip. Several residential buildings and Palestinian houses were destroyed by those airstrikes. We are in front of continuous and escalating airstrikes waged by the Israeli war plans targeting the middle area. In the same context, actually, the Israeli occupation forces demanded the Palestinian civilians in the Al-Nusayrat refugee camp and Al-Burej refugee camp to evacuate their neighborhoods and their houses into Deir al-Balah. Apparently, the Israeli occupation forces are going to scale up their attacks on the central area of Gaza Strip. There are many rising concerns among the people here that the Israeli occupation would attack the central area of Gaza Strip the same way that took place in Gaza City, the northern part and southern part of Gaza Strip. So apparently we are in front of more massacres to be yet to be committed by the Israeli occupation forces.
And we have breaking news out of Syria there. That correspondent there is saying that Iran's veteran military advisor in Syria, Sayed Razi Mousavi, has been murdered in an Israeli strike. Again, this is from the correspondent on the ground there, that Sayed Razi Mousavi, Iran's veteran military advisor in Syria, has been murdered. Again, we see the Israeli regime out of control as they continue to strike Syria and, of course, Lebanon, and, of course, Gaza itself. We'll be bringing you more on that as we get in. Well, the military wing of the Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, has released a statement on its recent retaliatory attacks against the invading Israeli forces in Gaza. The Al-Qassam Brigade says its fighters killed 48 Israeli troops during a number of operations over the past 4 days. It added that the operations involved missiles, anti-fortification, and anti-personnel devices. According to Al-Qassam, its fighters also clashed with the regime's forces at point-blank range. In the same period, 35 Israeli military vehicles were partially or completely destroyed as well. Israel says 162 of its troops have been killed since the start of the ground invasion of Gaza in October. Palestinians say the actual number is much higher. Hamas leader in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar, says Palestinian resistance fighters have smashed the Israeli army in fierce and unprecedented battle in Gaza. In a letter to the Hamas Politburo, Sinwar said the Al-Qassam Brigades, the movement's military wing, has inflicted substantial losses on Israeli forces and equipment during the regime's onslaught against Gaza. According to Sinwar, some 5,000 Israeli forces have been killed or injured, and more than 750 military vehicles have been damaged. He emphasized that Hamas will persist in crushing the Israeli military and will not yield to the regime's conditions. This is the first public statement by the Hamas leader since Israel began the carnage on October the 7th. The Israeli army had claimed to have destroyed Sinwar's house in Gaza, finding his shoes at the attack site, a claim ridiculed by the Israeli media. Pope Francis has brought up the ongoing genocidal war in Gaza in his Christmas Day speech, calling for an end to Israel's killing campaign in the blockaded territory.
I plead for an end to the military operations with their appalling harvest of innocent civilian victims and call for a solution to the desperate humanitarian situation by an opening to the provision of humanitarian aid. May there be an end to the fueling of violence and hatred.
Addressing thousands of people from St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican, he pleaded for an end to Israel's killing of the people in the blockaded Gaza Strip. Now, the leader of the Catholic Church also condemned the armament industry, which he said is motivated by profit and control the puppet strings of war. Pope Francis stated that children dying in wars, including those in Gaza, are the little Jesuses of today. The somber papal address came as Christians in the Palestinian city of Bethlehem have canceled their celebrations in solidarity with Palestinians under the Israeli onslaught in Gaza. Back to that breaking news. Again, Iran's military advisor was assassinated in Israeli airstrike in the Sayed Zainab neighborhood in Damascus. Again, Iran's military advisor, his assassination took place in the Sayed Zainab neighborhood in Damascus. It was carried out by the Israeli regime. Meanwhile, the Israeli regime continues to kill Palestinian journalists in Gaza on an almost daily basis. Israeli forces have killed scores of journalists since October the 7th in a grave violation of international laws and norms. Intentional targeting of journalists is considered a war crime and a crime against humanity.
On October 7th, the Israeli regime launched brutal bombardment of the Gaza Strip, killing and maiming tens of thousands of innocent civilians. Palestinian journalists and media workers were no exception. The Israeli regime has so far killed more than 100 Palestinian journalists as well as dozens of their family members. According to Reporters Without Borders, Palestinian journalists have no safe refuge and no way of leaving the blockaded territory.
Every day, Zionist forces target journalists in Gaza, and if they cannot kill them, they kill their family members. The Zionist regime has killed scores of our colleagues along with their families. Tel Aviv wants to silence us and prevent us from exposing Israeli war crimes.
Over the course of the Israeli onslaught, dozens of Gaza journalists have also been reported missing, detained, or injured. Israeli forces have also targeted their media offices and homes.
My message to the international community is that we here, as a journalist, we didn't feel that we are safe. We are targeted, and every time we can be bombed with the Israeli occupation forces. So my message is that we have to be saved. We are doing our work. We are only covering the acts that Israel made here in the Gaza Strip. So we are trying to get this message to the world.
Experts have dubbed the Israeli aggression since October 7th as the deadliest period for journalists covering military conflicts in more than three decades.
We were displaced from the Tel al-Hawa neighborhood in Gaza City to the house of our friend, the journalist Adel Zorob, in Rafah. He hosted us for 70 days, and a few days ago, my family was sleeping in the room close to his room, and an Israeli airstrike killed him along with several members of his family and my family.
Reporters Without Borders has described the Gaza Strip as the graveyard of journalists.
Journalists in Gaza have been at the forefront of the campaign to expose Israeli crimes against innocent civilians. Experts say Palestinian journalists are paying the price for the international apathy toward Israeli war crimes. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
Regarding the breaking news, the Syrian media has reported an attack by Israeli forces targeting a neighborhood near the Sayyida Zainab shrine in the Syrian capital, Damascus. So we're going to cross over and talk to Mohsen Abbas, joining us for this part of this situation. Mohsen, thank you so much for being with us. What we're getting, and we're just getting it in, is that the Israeli regime has assassinated Sayyid Razi Mousavi, who was a very important military figure there inside of Syria. Your thoughts when we look at this regime that basically is totally out of control? We see what it's doing in Gaza. It continually attacks Syria. And, of course, we have the situation in Lebanon. Your thoughts on this? And, of course, once again, the international, so-called international community remains silent.
Well, I think we need to, first of all, set this straight. Israel is operating a final solution for Palestinians. Israel is essentially led by Jewish extremists. Israel has a complete religious zealotry, absolutely riddled across not only its governmental sector, but also deep into its society and its communities on the grassroots level. It is now also dominated by ultra-nationalists, crypto-fascists. This Jewish Zionist fascism, this kind of absolute nihilistic, destructive, genocidal intent is really all based on Hitler's final solution. They really are just almost projecting what happened to their own people in Germany to one extent or another, and they want to do it to Palestine. This is the general context. Of course, you mentioned their backers, who are equally guilty. They have the same allegations thrown at them because the same kind of Jewish Zionist extremism is dominating, for instance, American politics. Okay, they call themselves Christian Zionists, but in reality, we know who the backers are. So the fact of the matter remains that you cannot rely on anything that is coming out of the West or any of the institutions that they control, whether that's the United Nations, the ICC, or the ICJ, whichever of their sort of bogus international apparatus they want to push forward. We know, in reality, those are toothless tigers. They are paper tigers. They're just there to fill in the blanks. The reality is there is no justice other than that which any individual can go and grab themselves. And without a military struggle, to be honest, without an insurgency, without a continued fight, the Palestinians won't get their rights, because what they're up against is something very basically satanic. These people, you've seen them in operation. Anybody who used to sort of accuse us of exaggeration or of conspiracy theories pretty much has egg on their face now, because if I ask them, well, are you not appalled by the genocide that you see? Do you think that killing over 11,000 children is not genocidal? Do you think infanticide is okay? Do you find that the occupation and the other people's lands and homes is okay? All of this is now exposed. And I think the one thing that 7th of October, the victory of 7th of October, has achieved is that it's brought everything into the open, Marcia. What was being brushed under the carpet with Israeli exceptionalism and their dominance of propaganda and the news services around the world, all of that, I think, at least what we've got, is that is shattered. That myth of Israel being some sort of victim, the myth of Israel being some sort of a genuine democratic state, is now lying in tatters, because everybody knows that they are basically genocidal, infanticidal, dangerous, a danger to the world, essentially, with their nuclear weapons that they have and the greed that they've shown, and their acceptance of the role that America and the West gives them, which is that they should cause conflict and they should cause as much destruction and as much torture and harm to the people of West Asia.
And interesting what you just said. Let me just jump in here. You said as far as the United States giving them basically the okay to cause as much harm as possible. And it's as if they are basically copying their American, if you want to say, brethren, because when we look at the situation, this assassination that has just taken place in Syria of Sayyid Razi Mousavi, Sayyid Razi Mousavi was a very close companion of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, and of course we're approaching his martyrdom anniversary within a week or so. So we recall what happened with General Soleimani, that the Americans, what they did to him in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad. And now we have the Israeli regime actually assassinating Sayed Reza Mousavi, who was a RIGC commander and also a veteran military advisor. Your thoughts?
It goes without saying that Israel finds the most threatening force in that region to its existence to be the Islamic Republic of Iran. Since the Islamic Revolution, and when the Zionists and the Western powers all rallied around Saddam Hussein and inflicted an eight-year war in which they killed millions of not only Iranians and Iraqis, with Saddam Hussein using gas, illegal chemical weapons, every kind of dirty trick in the book, with the support of the West, with the support of the Israelis and the Zionists, armed to the teeth. We have no, surprise that Israel today is given that exceptionalism, and it continues, and they continue to do essentially extrajudicial killings, assassinations, attempted color revolutions. This is just a normal day for in the office for the Mossad and for the Unit 8200s and all the other CIA and MI6 collaborators that they have. They have no regard for people's democracy, their human rights, no regard for justice in the world. They have no intention of allowing peace to prevail. What they want is plunder. They serve their money lender masters and their own, of course, state apparatus in order to really basically plunder that region. And, of course, Iran has said no. It's been the successful model. It's also stood up militarily. It's advanced technologically in every field. And Israel is absolutely petrified. It's knows that on the horizon is the nuclear capability of Iran, and it knows also that the Islamic Republic of Iran is morally and in other ways supporting every kind of resistance in that region. And of course, the Yemenis have successfully blockaded Israeli ships going through Bab al-Mandeb. The North, Hezbollah, has successfully held Israel to account, with at least two or three Israeli divisions being engaged, preventing them from applying their full wrath on the Palestinians. The Iraqi resistance has also been knocking at the doors of the U.S. bases. So this is a war. Of course, the asymmetric war is part of it, and these targeted killings are part of that. I think Israel is really regards itself in a desperate bid for survival. I think what we've seen in October the 7th is the beginning of the end of the Israeli illegal occupation.
And with that, brings us to the end of this Worldless edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Limelight. Like their Muslim friends and neighbors, Christians in Gaza are under siege. They have very little to eat, and they fear being killed by snipers or by other forms of the Zionist regime's violence. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. The Electronic Intifada wrote, "The 1,000 Christians living in Gaza have dreams. They want a better future. The war came suddenly, forcing people to leave their homes. Many went to churches, hoping they would provide safety. The fear of Christians has been heightened as Israeli regime tanks have been surrounding them. An elderly woman and her daughter taking shelter at the Holy Family Church in Gaza City were killed earlier this month by an Israeli regime sniper. Sohail Sabah is among those who have taken shelter in the Holy Family Church. She is a survivor of the massacre the Zionist regime carried out at the nearby Church of Saint Porphyrius during October. 18 people were killed in that massacre. She recalled, "The bombing was violent, like an earthquake. The walls were broken and I was thrown from one place to another. People were tripping over me and I could hear the screams of children and women. Multiple members of one family were instantly killed when one missile fell on the church," she said. Sabah herself was wounded in the head, back and legs. Ramez Al-Suri lost 3 children during the attack on the Church of Saint Porphyrius. The Zionist regime's attacks are carried out with weapons supplied by the U.S. Al-Suri said, "I left my home and came to the church because it was supposed to be a safe place. My children were sleeping in the building. Suddenly the place was bombed with a missile from a warplane." He added, "I cannot believe that I lost my children. I feel like I am in a nightmare. America and Israel killed my children while they were sleeping in a place of worship." Kamel Ayad notes that conditions in churches have been harsh since the beginning of the war. He had taken shelter in the Church of Saint Porphyrius before the October attack on that building. He said, "It is painful that the church was targeted while the Israelis knew that the displaced people inside it were civilians. We had gone to the church in search of safety." Christmas will be very different for his family than it was in 2022. He said, "Last year we celebrated the holidays with the family. We decorated the house and had lights on the Christmas tree. We went to Beit Lahm and visited the Church of the Nativity. This year, we are suffering from loss and destruction." He added, "There is no joy in anyone's heart these days. Everyone is crying for those they have lost." In previous years, Christians in Gaza applied for permits from the Zionist occupation forces so that they could visit Beit Lahm in the West Bank during the festive season. Nobody is waiting for permits this year. Like their Muslim friends and neighbors, Christians in Gaza are under siege. They have very little to eat. They fear being killed by Israeli snipers or by other forms of the Zionist regime's violence. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera English reported, two Christian women, an elderly mother and her daughter, were shot dead by an Israeli troop on the grounds of a Catholic church in Gaza City. The Latin Patriarchate of Al-Quds has said, around noon, 10 GMT today, a sniper of the Israeli army murdered two Christian women inside the Holy Family Parish in Gaza, where Christian families have been sheltering since the Zionist regime war broke out. The Patriarchate said in a statement recently, it said, Nahida and her daughter Samar were shot and killed as they were walking to the sisters' convent. One was killed as she tried to carry the other to the safety. It highlighted that no warning was given before the shooting started and added that they were shot in cold blood inside the premises of the parish, where there were no belligerents. Seven more people were also wounded by gunfire as they tried to protect others, the statement said. Hamam Farah, Nahida and Summer's family member, said in a statement on X, this is a targeted death campaign during the Christmas season on the world's oldest Christian community. Reporting from Rafah in southern Gaza, Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud said the church, which was accommodating Christians in Gaza, has been a target of direct Israeli regime bombardment over the past few days. He added, major parts of it have been destroyed. Snipers are shooting at every moving object in the yard. In his statement, the Patriarchate said three projectiles fired by an Israeli tank had also struck a convent of the Sisters of Mother Teresa Charity, destroying its generator and fuel supplies, and rendering a building housing 54 disabled people uninhabitable. It added, the 54 disabled persons are currently displaced and without access to respirators that some of them need to survive. According to the Vatican Press Agency, the strikes wounded three people. Mahmoud said, the 800 remaining Christians in Gaza are on the verge of extinction. They have made life very difficult for this community.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani.
Out of these 9 million species that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, when you look at the verses of the Quran, He doesn't speak of the creation of almost any of them. Don't get me wrong, He talks about the animals, He talks about the plants, He talks about the specifics of some of these animals. But rarely, if at all, does He ever talk about the creation of that animal. He doesn't sit there and say, well, this is how we created the cow. This is how we created this animal, that animal, this insect. He talks about these insects. He talks about the honeybee. Yes? But He isn't talking about how the honeybee was created. He talks about other animals. The ant comes up in the Quran. But He doesn't talk about how the ant was created. He doesn't walk you through the step-by-step process of how the species was actually created. But He does that for the human being. For the human being, He's going to step you, He's going to walk you through this process step-by-step. And as he comes closer to the end of this process, then he says something, he declares something that he never declared for any other species. Out of all these species he created, he only said this for the human being. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about our creation? This is Surah Al-Mu'minun, the first page of Surah Al-Mu'minun, near the end. He says, well, let me tell you how I created this human being. We started min sulalatin min tin, from an extract of clay. That's the first step. Then we took that, ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ. We took this drop of fluid, we placed it in a stable place. This is the womb, of course. Then came the next step, ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا نُطْفَةً عَلَقَةً. This drop of fluid turned into a clinging mass. It started to come together a little bit. This clinging mass of alaqa then turned into mudgha. This is now flesh. This mudgha, we hardened it. It turned into bone. Yes, it turned into عظام. And then what did we do? فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. Then we took this bone and we put more flesh on it. We had flesh grow on it. These are the steps he's talking about. Okay, so far is going well. He's talking about these different steps. These are spectacular things. We just read these. We don't really understand the details of it. But then he says something else. Up to this point is all physical changes, yes? He was this much, and then he gets a little bit stronger, gets a little bit harder, then flesh, then all of this. Then something happens. It's almost as if God kind of skips over it. It's almost as if he doesn't even want to go into detail here. He says, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. Then we created him with some other form of creation. Wait a second. I thought we were going through this step by step. I thought you were supposed to tell us how the human being is created, yes? I thought you were supposed to tell us all the ingredients and everything. He says, no, this step is different. This step, all I can tell you, خَلْقًا آخَرٌ ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ. Then we created him a different creation. It's a final step. It's that little magic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's sprinkling into the process. You know chefs, yes? When they have them on TV shows and different places. Say, oh chef, well how do you make this food, for example, right? Say, well, you have to add salt and pepper and this and that and the secret ingredient. You're like, but we all came here for the secret ingredient. He says, well, I can't share the secret ingredient with you. You can take all these steps, yes? Have your water boiling and all the simple stuff they'll explain to you, right? The secret ingredient, they won't tell you what the secret ingredient is. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not telling you and I what the secret ingredient is in this verse. Partially because we don't even understand it if he were to tell us. But he says, listen, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٌ. But when this final piece of the puzzle came, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verses of the Quran, he declared. He said, with this, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. I'm the best of creators. He put all of this together. When the final piece of the puzzle came, he said, look at this, I have a masterpiece. Now this begs the question, oh Allah, 8.7 million other species. These are not the individual animals. These are the species under which will come many other animals, yes? 8.7 million other ones. You never said this about any of the other ones. What's so special about this one? What made it such that you looked at this and you said, oh, this is a masterpiece. This is different. This is, I'm Ahsanul Khaliqeen now. I'm the best of the best now because of this one. What happened here? You and I might look at it and say, well, it's because the human being is very complex. His creation went through all these different stages and so on and so forth. No, that's not what makes this human being special. There's something else going on. Why? Because every one of these 8.7 million species is also complex and detailed and sophisticated. It's more sophisticated than you and I can even understand and comprehend. I'll give you one example, just so we understand this complexity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in His creation. But when it came to the human being, it wasn't just this complexity. It was a masterpiece in its complexity, and then another masterpiece on top of that. Something else happened here. All of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is complex. All of this creation is mind-boggling. We don't understand what's happening in the world around us. They give you an example of an animal that when you and I see, you'll probably freak out, unless you're very brave. If you walk into your house one day, and there's a bat in there, yes? A bat's coming and going. I don't know about you. I'm not that brave. Yes? God forbid it's stuck in a place that it can't get out. It's the end of the world for us, yes? This bat that we look at, we say, what a bat. We don't even know why God created it. Like we might look at it sometimes and think, Ya Allah, I mean, why? Out of all this creation, why did you even create this? Yeah, it's one of those creations that we don't look at, sit down and admire, right? It's not like a peacock that comes and opens its thing and you're like, wow, this is so beautiful. It's not a flower. It's not like the sunset. It's none of those. It's a bat. But this bat, its creation is so complex that it's difficult for us to even understand how it does things, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it. Yes? This information is coming from Richard Dawkins' book. He has a book called The Blind Watchmaker. Yes? And in there, he's explaining how a lot of the technologies that we use today are technologies that have been found in nature for many, many years. But of course, we're late to the game. So we have to come and learn from nature a lot of times, and then we have to produce our own technology. So he starts to talk about how a bat moves around, how a bat navigates the world around it. How does it do it? It does it the same way we use radars, or we used to use radars, right? Sound waves. You send out a sound wave, it hits things, it comes back to you, it reflects off of things, comes back to you. You figure out where things are. Sounds pretty simple, yes? This bat sends out some sound waves. These sound waves go, it comes back. Okay, so very easy. What's the problem? The problem is this bat has to hunt. This bat has to move and has to be watching all the smallest movements of small creatures. So he has to send these sound waves so quickly. I have to come back to him so quickly that if this little insect moves from where it was by 2 centimeters, he can see it so that he can hunt it. Otherwise, what is he going to do? He's going to die. So now this bat has to send out sound waves and receive these sound waves, but at a very high speed. Are these things that we can even comprehend? These are things we can't even digest. And this is that animal that's not even the most beautiful of them. This is that animal that we don't even count. And then there are other bats, they're sending sound waves. His sound wave has to be a different type so that he knows this is the same sound wave that I sent before. It's a whole system. All of his creation is complex. All of his creation is spectacular. And still out of 8.7 million, he didn't say Tabarakallah Ahsanul Khaliqin to any of them. Only said it for one out of this 8.7 million.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Azim Alimun Halim Hakimun Mateen شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا
follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the limelight.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has called for an international investigation into Israel's summary executions in the besieged Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has called for an international investigation into summary executions carried out by Israeli military forces during Israel's ongoing genocidal war against the besieged Gaza Strip. In a statement on Saturday, 23rd of December, Hamas said it had gathered testimonies proving that the Israeli army has carried out summary executions of 137 Palestinian civilians in the northern Gaza Strip, including in Gaza City, since 7th of October, when Israel launched its brutal war of aggression against Gaza. The statement added, the executions involved Israeli forces digging a large pit east of Gaza City and placing dozens of detained Palestinian civilians in it before executing them and filling up the pit. The Hamas statement came after earlier on Saturday, 23rd of December, Gaza's health ministry said dozens of Palestinians were publicly executed this week during an Israeli military attack in the northern city of Jabalia. On Wednesday, 20th of December, the United Nations Human Rights Office said it had received disturbing reports that Israeli military had summarily killed at least 11 unarmed Palestinians in a possible war crime committed in the Rimmon neighborhood of Gaza City. The Israeli regime started its genocidal war on Gaza following an operation by the territory's resistance groups dubbed Operation Al-Aqsa Storm. The Palestinian Health Ministry issued a statement on Saturday, 23rd of December, saying the total death toll from Israel's brutal onslaught has now reached 20,258, mostly women and children, with 53,688 people injured. Separately, on Saturday, 23rd of December, the Palestinian Health Ministry issued a statement saying at least 201 Palestinians have been killed and 368 others injured in the Israeli regime's strikes on Gaza over the previous 24 hours. The report belied Israeli military claims that it ensures its strikes against military targets comply with the provisions of international law. Despite that Israeli claim, almost half of the bombs that have been used by the Israeli regime in its onslaught on Gaza have reportedly been unguided dumb bombs, which are used with the intention of conducting indiscriminate attacks on civilians. Besides its incessant attacks against Gaza, Israel has cut off the flow of basic supplies such as water, electricity, medicine, and fuel into one of the world's most densely populated territories. Gaza houses over 2 million Palestinians. Meanwhile, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi says the United States and the Israeli regime must be tried at the International Criminal Court at The Hague, Netherlands, for crimes against humanity during Israel's massive onslaught on Gaza. Addressing the Tehran International Conference on Palestine on Saturday, 23rd of December, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi condemned the crimes of the Israeli regime, including massacring of women and children and the destruction of Palestinian homes in Gaza. President Raisi slammed the unconditional support of the so-called advocates of human rights, not least the United States of America and various other Western countries, for the crimes being committed by Israel in Gaza. What is even more unfortunate is the ineffectiveness of all the international organizations who claim to defend human rights. And the current situation in Gaza is a testimony to this. President Raisi said the horrific war crimes in Gaza stem from an unjust world order. The Iranian president stressed the need to shape a new world order. President Raisi said meetings such as the Tehran conference must go to great lengths in this regard, pointing to the futile efforts to normalize the crimes of the Israeli regime in Gaza. President Raisi reiterated the Palestinians' right to self-defense. He said the true face of the United States and other Western countries was uncovered in the course of the genocidal Israeli war in Gaza. President Raisi poignantly said, they're not a party to peace, they're a party to war. The Iranian president reiterated that the United States and its allies have vetoed a number of UN Security Council resolutions for ceasefire in Gaza and provided the Israeli regime with weaponry and financial aid to carry on with its genocidal war. Also, Iran's foreign minister Hossein Amin Abdollahian has said the United States and some of its allies are the main obstacles on the way of efforts to stop the killing of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip. Addressing the Tehran International Conference on Palestine on Saturday, 23rd of December, the Iranian foreign minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian censured the United States Security Council for failing to take any effective action to end Israel's hostilities in the occupied Palestinian territories, particularly in the Gaza Strip. He said the participants in the Tehran conference shared the ultimate goal of ending the brutal Israeli regime war in Gaza. Hossein Amir Abdollahian said the UN Security Council has adopted a resolution for increased humanitarian aid to Gaza, but it has so far failed to take any effective steps to stop Israel's war in Gaza. Iran's foreign minister urged all independent governments to pull out all the stops in support of oppressed Palestinians. Qatar's Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Gaza's health ministry has announced that 201 people have been killed over the past 24 hours and 368 people wounded. Gaza's health ministry made the statement on Saturday, 23rd of December. A watered-down United Nations resolution boosting aid to the Gaza Strip has been criticized as nearly meaningless. The United Nations Security Council passed a resolution for more aid for Gaza after several days of delays and weakened language that did not call for a ceasefire in the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, prompting a backlash with some describing it as woefully insufficient and nearly meaningless. The United Nations Security Council resolution merely called for steps to create the conditions for a sustainable cessation of hostilities and was adopted on Friday, 22nd of December, with 13 votes in favor, no votes against, with United States and Russia abstaining from the vote. It also demanded that all parties facilitate and enable the immediate, safe, and unhindered delivery of humanitarian assistance on large scale to the Palestinian civilians of the Gaza Strip. It came after several postponements and difficult closed-door negotiations aimed at reaching a compromise in the language that would not be rejected by Washington. Washington has already vetoed another UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza earlier this month. While the UN Security Council resolutions are legally binding, Al Jazeera correspondent Alan Fisher says the Israeli regime and other countries have ignored these resolutions in the past. According to the Al Jazeera correspondent Alan Fisher, the circumstances and the consequences for people refusing to follow these Security Council resolutions seem to be much worse for some countries compared to others. Palestinian officials, meanwhile, have said more than 20,000 Palestinians, about 70% of them women and children, have been killed so far in Israel's relentless war on Gaza since it started on 7th of October. And top United Nations officials and international aid agencies have welcomed the call for more humanitarian assistance to Gaza, but they say the resolution does not go far enough, with the majority of the Gaza's population of 2.3 million people displaced and with an imminent threat of famine and disease spreading fast in the besieged territory. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAD 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with veterans from the Sacred Defense and the Resistance field. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on September 20, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. In the name of God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. All praise is due to God, Lord of the worlds, and peace and greetings be upon our Master, Muhammad, and his pure, immaculate, chosen progeny, particularly the remnant of God on earth. I profoundly thank Almighty God for giving me the opportunity to attend this magnificent, comprehensive, meaningful meeting. I would like to extend my thanks to those who organized this event. Also, I would like to thank the brothers and sisters who presented various programs for an hour or so at the beginning of this meeting. The recitation of the Quran was good. The anthems that were sung were excellent in terms of both the poetry and the music. The elegy was very good, and the speaker spoke about very good matters. Almost everything that is in our hearts and in our minds regarding the sacred defense and its relationship with the people were mentioned by these ladies and gentlemen. Nevertheless, there is a need to reflect on and to think about these matters in order to find solutions, God willing.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
What I would like to say is that the event of the Sacred Defense is a prominent, important period in our country's history. We should understand this period and this important event properly and introduce it to future generations. I strongly believe that if our succeeding generations learn about the important, meaningful aspects of the sacred defense and realize how the Iranian nation was able to reach the heights of victory in this important event and to stand up there with power and pride, they will learn great lessons from it and they will achieve great things. This is my firm opinion. The greatness of this event must be recognized. Much has been done in this field. Books have been written, films have been made, and memoirs have been narrated. However, in my opinion, there is still much more room for work to be done. Up until now, we have not been able to recognize or make known the details of this great, colorful painting.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.